I quit.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, whenever the hell we goddamn feel like it, the boys are back. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We're back. We've been on hiatus for a little bit. Giants stunk. We got lazy. Weiss had a kid. I was traveling, but we're back.
Among other things.
And a lot to talk about. Giants, NFL, draft. So let's get into it. Season's over. What better place to start than with the list of coaching changes? And I think we have to start with defensive coordinator Wink Martindale. Weiss, I'll throw it to you. To start, what an adventure. What a 48 hours.
I sort of compared to when Dave Gettleman retired, and I use that in quotations, and then we waited for like 48 hours to see what would happen with Joe Judge. You remember that? And there was like that period where we're like, shit, they're going to hire Kevin Abrams, right? And there's like, I compare it to that. It was hectic like that. But we learned a lot. We learned a lot in 48 hours. I think we have to go back to the Jay Glazer report because I think that's where all this started, right? When that first came out, we're like, uh-oh, you know, this
Jay Glazer is never wrong.
No, he's not.
Ever.
I never thought that report was wrong or exaggerated or anything.
So here's the thing. I would feel there were obviously some fans who were skeptical of it. Jay Glazer is never wrong.
Never.
Guy about 1,000, Hall of Fame, insider, beat writer. I feel like he gets like sort of buried underneath like the Schefters and the Rappaports of the world because I don't like perceive him as having a huge Twitter presence and, you know, ESPN and NFL Network versus Fox. Like, okay, he's not going to be as big a presence, but when Jay Glazer speaks, you listen. Now, where I think a lot of fans got sort of thrown off a little bit, and I'll admit I was thrown off too, was sure that the report was accurate, but given the amount of dysfunction that's come out of the Giants over the last 10 years at this point, they did such a good job of covering it up and making it seem like everything was hunky-dory. Like, between giving Wink the game ball and just like the defense consistently playing hard, despite the fact that Wink threw a handful of players under the bus, both in the media as well as with just usage and production, like, you would, if that Jay Glazer report didn't exist, you would have no clue that anything was wrong, and this would have come as a complete and total surprise. So, I mean, listen, we're again, like I said, we're used to the dysfunction from the Giants over the last 10 years. I think a round of applause for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll for keeping this under wraps as long as they did. I mean, this wasn't just like normal levels of toxic and dysfunction. This is next level. And not only did they cover it up, but the players still performed. The team still performed. They won games that they shouldn't have won. And literally until the clock struck zero on the season, everything seemed sort of okay. Yeah, there was speculation. But again, like the only thing that we heard about was that Jay Glazer report. And that was it.
Yeah. And then what happened, you know, with Daboll saying he expects the coordinators to come back, and then we hear, you know, shortly after that, Wink resigned. I think in terms of blame, everybody's trying to pick a side. I think everyone's at fault here. You know, Wink Martindale is not the Giants defensive coordinator because of performance-based issue. You know, Wink is a good coach. He was a good defensive mind. I know people will look at the numbers and the rankings and where the Giants finished, and will look at certain times throughout the season when the Giants struggled, especially against really, really good opponents. But Wink Martindale is a good defensive coordinator, and it's unfortunate that it got to this point. I think Brian Daboll shoulders some of those blames, and I hope he uses this as a learning experience.
I have a question for you guys. Like, what do you think Wink's goal was? Like, you read the New York Post report from Paul Schwartz, and yeah, it effectively sounded like there was going to be a coup.
Like, so can I tell you what I think started this?
Sure.
I think Brian Daboll, and listen, I don't know the exact story, but just looking at what we saw, some of the stuff on the sideline.
I sort of know where you're going.
I think the way Brian Daboll reacts, interacts with his coaches, both on the sideline and, you know, behind closed doors, probably didn't sit well with a lot of people, a lot of the coaches. And I think Wink Martindale is one of them. And Wink Martindale is an old school guy. So, you know, he's worked with a lot of coaches. He's been around the block. But we saw the stare down of Thomas McGahee in the preseason. You know, we saw the Cardinals game where he might have taken the play calling from Mike Kafka. We saw numerous times him, you know, look at Wink Martindale, say something to Wink Martindale, you know, God damn it, Wink. Everybody read those lips. So we've seen all that. I'm sure it's a little bit worse behind closed doors, right? And maybe that's just who Brian Daboll is, and he's not everyone's cup of tea. Does that make Brian Daboll a bad coach? No.
To play devil's advocate, though, maybe it is better behind closed doors. Like, maybe those are just, like, passion in the moment type of responses from Dabes. Mm. And behind closed doors, it's like, listen, sorry I had to do that. Sorry I said that. But, like, this is a problem. We got to fix it.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of F-bombs in meeting rooms. Yeah, I do. And listen, I'm not saying that's the wrong way. I'm not going to sit here and tell Brian Daboll how to coach. I'm just saying that could rub people the wrong way. Here's what I fear, guys. This is the one thing that I fear. I fear that Brian Daboll is going to look at this situation and say, I can't hire somebody. I don't have a prior professional and personal relationship with. And I have to now hire somebody that I'm comfortable with, rather than taking on another, you know, potential personality. And I think that's going to shrink the Giants' potential coaching candidates, because I think there are better defensive coordinators out there than Wink Martindale. I think the Ravens showed that when they got rid of Wink, right? That's the one thing that I fear that's going to happen here. But at the same time, Brian Daboll, we saw the Paul Shortz report, you know, what Wink was doing.
Well, that sort of begs the question, like, do we think that Wink is, like, Wink interviewed for the Giants head coaching position at one point. Like, he's been in the league forever. He's had a couple interviews for a head coaching job. He's never been a head coach before. Mm-hmm. Like, the team is struggling. Do you think maybe that thought process is going through his head? Like, hey, like, this is my defense. This is my defensive staff. Like, I got my guys. It's the offense that's the problem. I'm just going to sort of sow the seeds of mutiny a little bit, and God forbid things go south. I know the Giants like me. I know John Mara likes me because they interviewed me for the head coaching job previously. Maybe there's a way I could snake my way in there as an interim.
No, I think what it was, and I'll go to you, Nick, I sort of thought about this for a while. I was like, what was Wink's motive? I think Wink Martindale came into the Giants defensive coordinator job with the mindset of, this is my defense. I'm running it. Brian Daboll is a first-year head coach. He's going to let me bring my guys, a la the Wilkins brothers. I'm running the ship. And what ended up happening was, I guess the relationship got to a point where Wink didn't want to work there anymore. And rather than just outright resigning, we saw the sort of narrative control by Wink Martindale, leaking stuff to the media. Listen, Wink Martindale has a lot of buddies in the media that were playing his, you know, basically as, you know, on his side, right? Brian Daboll is not that kind of coach. That's the one thing I do know about Brian Daboll. He doesn't play the media game. He's not about picking certain media guys.
And we know that from some tone changes from certain writers. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying, if you follow the breadcrumbs, you know that there were some reporters. Yeah. Buddy, Mr. Judge. Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
People can figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll is not that guy. So Brian Daboll is not going to have people, you know, playing the narrative game for him. He just doesn't care. That's who he is. I think that's the wrong approach, but that's who Brian Daboll is. Brian Daboll is all about in-house. He's all about his program. He's all about his players. Does that mean he's going to be a successful head coach? No.
That's just the way Belichickian of him.
That's just the way he is. Wink Martindale, on the other hand, and Thomas McGahee, by the way, too. Thomas McGahee is also somebody that has a lot of friends in the media. He's been with the Giants
for a long time. But here's the difference between Wink and McGahee. When Wink speaks, people listen because they respect him. when I can't even say his name anymore. When the former special teams coordinator speaks, it's like, what dumbassery is going
to
come out
in terms of leaking things to the media? If you're looking for the leaks,
what did he leak?
I don't know what he. I will say that
he
a
just
lot
had like a bunch of ramblings and ravings where people were the fuck are you talking about, dude?
All I'm going to say is we saw a lot of people in the media sort of flip their. I don't want to say their opinion on Daboll, but they sort of flipped how they covered Daboll after Brian Daboll gave Thomas McGahee the stare down in the preseason. Go back and look at whatever you want to look at. Things changed about how Brian Daboll was viewed after that. McGahee has a lot of friends in the media. I hope Brian Daboll takes that same approach to hiring the next defensive coordinator that he took with Wink Martindale. There's a lot of good candidates out there. There's a lot of good names out there. There's guys that are deserving of a first shot. The influx of young defensive minds is insane out there, both at the college level, at the pro level. It's Brian Daboll's job to go find it. I hope he doesn't, you know, take this approach of, I'm just going to hire somebody that I'm comfortable with, a la Leslie Frazier. Wouldn't be a bad hire, but I think there's better candidates out there.
All I was going to say in regards to Wink and this idea of what his play was, I think it was partly what you guys were both saying, where trying to set himself up where if something were to happen, yeah, I could see a world where that could happen. But this year specifically, I think he saw what happened to Kafka in that Arizona game and said, he might do that shit with the offense, but he's not doing that to me. This is my defense. I am in control here. These guys play for me. They don't play defense for you. I got my guys ready to go. You're supposed to be this offensive head coach. You're supposed to be able to get more out of your offense. Well, we're keeping us in all of these games, even though we're on the field, you know, 55, 60% of the game. Our defense is not the reason we are losing. I'm going to do everything in my power to keep these guys playing. And in making that kind of, I don't want to say trying to fill that space in a power vacuum, but by making it so people would go to him for things, you know, you're putting yourself up on equal footing with Daboll, where I don't know if that was ultimately what turned out to be the issue, but I think I understand why Daboll did what he did, because you can't have shit like that under you, because if you're not paying attention and you're not aware of that kind of thing, you're setting yourself up for failure. And then one last thing on this, just I think you can't allow yourself to be scared off by what happened, where I agree with you. There are good DCs available out there or position coaches out there worthy of a look. I don't think you should limit yourself to only people you've worked with. I do think it helps having some level of a relationship with somebody you would incorporate and bring in, but it's not a prerequisite for success. So I do agree with you, Weiss. It is important that they don't entirely rule out other candidates.
That's my biggest fear. I don't give a shit if Wink Martindale goes to an NFC East team. I really don't. My biggest thing is, hey, do not let this situation, you know, cloud your judgment. The way you went about hiring your coordinators in the first place, that's the approach you should take. And I hope he does that, because if he does, I think they'll be okay.
That's the hope, man. Because when you are a coach, you only get so many opportunities. We talk about this in regards to general managers. You know, you get so many chances to pick your head coach, your quarterback. Filling out your staff as your head coach is the same type of deal. You only get to hire so many OCs, DCs before it's a you problem, as opposed to I just hired the wrong guy. So you definitely take something from this. This has to be a learning experience. Otherwise, it's a mistake. But I don't think it necessarily means that Daboll is in trouble or anything like that. I do think, you know, the offseason will dictate a lot of what we can realistically expect as far as what Daboll does in filling out the staff. And ultimately, you know, I don't think we'd be having this conversation if the Giants won a couple more games. You know, if the Giants are a 9-win team and just on the precipice of missing the playoffs, they're the first team.
If they're a 9-win team, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if they're on the precipice of being a playoff team, or they're the first team out, you know, I don't think this would have been as much of an issue. But being that the offense was so unconscionably bad, and the defense, though it wasn't great statistically, they forced a lot of turnovers. They played really hard down the stretch, and they kept them in a lot of games. I do think that if the team had just been a little bit better, this is probably a non-story. But because the team was bad, the emotions probably get a little more contested, where it's like, well, no, fuck you. My unit's doing their job. Why isn't your unit doing your job? So I definitely can see a world where this doesn't happen. But, you know, eventually you got to win football games, no matter how well your unit is playing.
I agree. I agree. Winning cures all. But I think the moment the Jay Glazer thing came out, Wink Martindale was done with the Giants.
Because Brian Daboll, I can't say that.
Brian Daboll went to Wink Martindale on multiple occasions trying to figure out what was the problem. And whether they discussed it, whether they tried to, you know, heal their issues and it just didn't work, whether Wink wanted. See, Wink Martindale comes from the Buddy Ryan coaching tree. And the one thing about Buddy Ryan and Rex Ryan and that family is when you hire them as a defensive coordinator, they control their defense. If they want to fire a positional coach, they're going to fire a positional coach. If they want to, you know, in terms of personnel, they have a lot of say, right? Like I think that was a huge thing with Wink Martindale coming to the Giants. I just thought that, you know, Brian Daboll is a huge personality and he is a head coach and he feels like if there were issues with the defense, whether it's scheme, whether it's play calling, whether it's some of the stuff Wink Martindale said, Wink Martindale's issues weren't just with Brian Daboll. It was with some of the players too. And you're seeing some of the tweets. You know, we saw Kayvon Thibodeau hint at some stuff. Xavier McKinney came out and said some stuff to the media and we had a different reaction. But you start to piece this thing together, Nick. I don't think a playoff berth would have solved this. I think Wink was done in New York the moment that Glazer stuff leaked. I think he was just trying to get fired to collect his $3 million and be able to go somewhere else. I don't think there was anything reconciling Wink Martindale and the New York Giants. Brian Daboll knew that too.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Last thing on this. Part of the report was that John Mara speaks with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll almost daily.
That's fine.
Okay.
I will say this. I mean, we know John Mara cares too much about the team, and that's part of the issue.
He's at practice every day.
Yeah.
He's at practice all the time.
Like, bro, you're a billionaire. You don't got more fun things to do than watch Tommy DeVito overthrow people in practice.
How old is he? He's like 80?
You can do fun things at 80. Go play golf. Go sit on a beach.
I was about to say that.
Why do you think Arthur Blank is like, oh, there's only a quarter and a half left in the game. I'm going to walk down to the field because he's fucking old, dude. These billionaires have nothing to do.
I mean, with John Mara, his whole life is the Giants. I don't think he has a life outside the Giants.
He has no hobbies. He's a loser. He's a loser billionaire.
His whole thing is the Giants. I mean, what else?
At least Steve Tisch does drugs and does Hollywood. Like, what does John Mara do?
Make
John
Mara cameos.
Jack shit.
Cameos in HBO shows.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a joke. All right.
There were some other coaches fired too.
I forgot about Bobby Johnson. I mean, God bless. Like, listen, there were.
I found out that he's Brian Daboll's very good friend. Yes. So for Brian Daboll to fire his very good friend.
Yep. And then Wink to throw a pissy fit over his friends. Yeah.
It's kind of tough to like sympathize with Wink here.
It's, you know, impossible.
That step one to fixing the Giants offensive line is getting a really, really good offensive line coach. Very, very important here. We've seen some names thrown out there. I think it's going to be an extensive search. We'll see. But yes, that was step one. Step two is then allow that offensive line coach to develop, you know, figure out what you're going to do with some of these guys.
And hopefully quickly.
Yeah. You'd be surprised, man. Have you looked at like the trends of like offensive line turnarounds?
Yes.
Not even like personnel-wise, just like coaching.
Yes.
Like how
the Colts.
Yes. You get the right
the Falcons.
You know who the offensive line coach of the Colts is, right?
I forget.
Tony
Sperano,
Junior.
Who's the Giants? Yeah, Junior. Who's the Giants assistant offensive line coach last year?
It can happen quickly. And the Giants have made a lot of investments in their offensive line over the last, you know, 2 years with Joe Shane. So they got to start. The one thing with Bobby Johnson was, and you guys can look this up, not one player that they brought in, take Andrew Thomas out of the equation, right? Not one player that they brought in or had got better.
No. And then everyone that left got better.
Yeah. The guys either regressed, right? Like Glowinski came over from the Colts. Like, yeah. He was an average guard with the Colts. He comes to the Giants. He's all of a sudden, like, gets benched.
Yeah, you know? And then he goes to the 49ers, and he's, like, a very good backup.
Feliciano, but I'm talking about
Glowinski. Oh, sorry, Feliciano.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, but that's a good point. Like, Feliciano was that. And then, so it's tough to really, like...
Tyree Phillips goes to the Eagles practice squad for, like, half a month. He comes back. He's a totally new swing tackle.
He said it. He was like, I went to college.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's obvious, but yeah.
So
I'm happy they did that. They had
change,
that.
Change is on the way. Yeah. Should we talk Saquon and his comments at the end of the season?
Sure.
You seem enthralled with this topic of conversation, dude, but it's we have to talk about.
What else with Saquon? Like, we're going to do another offseason of this? Another offseason?
Yes, apparently. No, we're not. It's going to be so much more simple this time around. Because KPMG Taysom Hill is a non-issue this offseason. So the whole issue last year was Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, franchise
tag. What did you just say?
He's KPMG Taysom Hill. Trust me, I could go meaner, but I don't want us to get canceled. Yeah. So listen, like, he came out, he said, if you're going to franchise tag me, just fucking do it. Don't wait. Just do it. So
almost like he's asking for it at this point.
Well, listen, we're not going to have to get too into it. Everyone knows my stance on Saquon and how he doesn't care about winning. He just wants the bag. So Joe Shane is not offering him a long-term contract or even anything more than 2 years. He's gone. I think he's out of here, and I think we're going to know it sooner rather than later. And I think that nightmare is over, finally. And we can put that to rest and
finally you think so? On.
Yeah, he's gone.
Really? You're confident in that?
Yeah, very confident. No sources, no wink-winks. Like, he's done. I think he's done. Like, given the amount of cap space the Giants have and some positions that they need to improve, like, they can't fit what he would be asking for.
Do you think that the Giants will prioritize another player over their quote-unquote face of franchise this offseason with Xavier McKinney?
Currently on the, yeah, okay. That, yeah,
like, yes, last year they did it with Dexter Lawrence and Daniel Jones and Andrew Thomas, and everyone still said that Saquon's the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
Do you think that this offseason they do the same thing where they prioritize re-signing Xavier McKinney, who's a leader in their defense, over Saquon, and people will still look at Saquon as the quote-unquote face of the franchise because
he's going to be gone. So, you know.
They can fix this. You know how they fix this, Weiss? They get a real quarterback.
Yeah.
Or they get Marvin Harrison Jr. Or they get Malik Nabers.
No, shut the fuck up. Nope.
We'll talk about the draft.
No.
I want Nick.
I just want somebody out. I can be excited to watch
play. Go to your crate, Ethan. Nick. You're in timeout. Go to your crate.
That's all I want.
Nick has a good point bringing up these non quarterback prospects. Can I tell you why?
You can't. No.
You have to be realistic about the situation. They're like the top three.
I am being realistic about the situation. You want to know how realistic I am being about the situation?
I want a quarterback too.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? If the pick winds up being Romeo Odunze or Malik Nabers or any of the other incredible wide receivers in this class, next year is going to fucking suck and there's no point. And the year after that's going to suck and there's going to be no point because this year's quarterback class is very, 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 very good. And the number one prospect or the top two prospects in next year are Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart. No fucking thank you. It's quarterback this year or bust.
You forgot really? Quinn Ewers, and then 2 years
Quinn,
from now,
Quinn Ewers. Are you kidding me? No, I just wanted to piss you off.
And 2 years from now, Arch.
Yeah, fine, Arch. Yeah. That's what we're waiting for. Joe Shane to lose his job, waiting for Arch Manning.
I might lose my mind.
John Mara waiting for Arch.
I might kill myself in 2 years if I have to keep watching this Giants.
Same.
2 years or two more years of this garbage quarterback play. Oh my god.
All right. So anyway, draft. Unless Weiss, you have enough. Okay, fine. Draft.
Yes, we'll talk more about the draft later on as stuff start to come out. Here's what I'll say. I'm sort of with Nick on this, Ethan. I don't think you can just force a quarterback pick. I agree with you.
I only want
one of the three.
Same.
No McCarthy, no Bo Nix, no Penix.
So where I am right now.
Oh, I will say Monty gave me a JJ McCarthy.
No, stop.
Comp
stop.
today. that had me like, okay, fine. Like
what, Kirk Cousins?
No.
Okay.
No.
And more athletic Kirk Cousins? That's the one I've been seeing. No. Stop.
Any guesses?
What are you going to say? Like Joe Burrow?
No.
Because he's athletic and he's got an okay arm, but
he's got a good size too.
Yeah.
Who? JJ McCarthy?
Yeah. 6'3".
He's 6'3", like 200 pounds soaking wet. He's smaller than Josh Rosen. Like,
who?
JJ McCarthy is smaller than Josh Rosen.
I know. Who's your comp, we're saying?
Oh, the comp?
Brock Purdy.
It's not my comp. It's Monty's comp. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, come on, dog.
Coming out of college.
Come on.
I can see it. 100%.
Here's what I'm going to say. There are three quarterbacks for me. Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. I think right now I might put Drake May over Caleb Williams.
Sure. I don't think there's a huge gap between them. I think they're both good.
Dude, all right. So here's like a thought that I've had in the back of my mind for quite some time.
I don't see Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams.
I do, but
no one we do comps to make it easier for people who don't watch every game to understand. It's just an archetype. Big arm, mobile, you know, freak arm strength. Not Mahomes. Nobody's Mahomes.
Okay, Nick, can I finish? Can I finish, please? Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. I don't even remember what I was going to say. What was? In the weirdest way, and logically this makes no sense, right? Because if you need a quarterback and you're picking a quarterback in this draft, you want the number one pick. Like, it's just the more options, the better. And if you are a good talent evaluator and a better talent evaluator than the other teams in the NFL, then having the greatest number of options gives you an advantage and a high chance of success in picking that quarterback. There's just like that little voice in the back of my head that's telling me that whoever has the number one overall pick this year, and I don't think the Bears are trading it, we can debate, they're essentially like forced to pick Caleb Williams because he's the consensus number one, when I agree that I can very easily see Drake May or Jaden Daniels having a much higher ceiling because I think that they're far more athletic. So that's sort of where I'm coming from, where like I genuinely don't care as long as it's one of the three. I think they're all so incredible and unique in their own ways, but I do think like it's very, very, very Bears to have the number one overall pick in a loaded class and then like pick Caleb Williams and get it wrong. Like
They picked Caleb Williams over the North Carolina quarterback because they want to right the wrong.
Trubisky's, yeah, exactly.
and not pick the guy that's being compared to Patrick Mahomes. Right. Yeah, listen, I see Drake May is just built, good arm, can make some incredible throws.
Nick's going to fucking roll his eyes, but like the comps are what we do. I think he's Justin Herbert with the recklessness, in a positive way, with the recklessness of Josh Allen.
Oh, I love Drake May. He's very fun to watch. I mean, any of these guys is a better option than Daniel Jones. We're all in agreement.
No shit.
I disagree. I'm not looking to draft a quarterback better than Daniel Jones. I'm looking to find a franchise quarterback.
Well, okay, yes. But that's,
Daniel Jones is not a franchise one of quarterback.
Because I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is the same thing.
This is semantics.
It's not semantics.
Well, no.
It is. Obviously, the goal is to draft a franchise quarterback.
I get the point. Ethan, you talk about drafting for ceiling and looking at the intangibles and franchise quarterback. So if that's what you're looking at,
yes,
Daniel Jones is not a part of the conversation.
Obviously.
We're not – this. It's not a – if he's better than Daniel Jones, it's a win. No. Because you can – Tyrod Taylor might be better than Daniel Jones.
I think J.J. McCarthy would be better than Daniel Jones, but I don't think
he's
being
a
franchise quarterback.
Exactly. So I'm not sitting here saying pick J. I hope you're not saying pick J.J. McCarthy because he's better than Daniel Jones. I want you to say
– No, I'm saying that
I want you to say
saying is I'm saying what you're saying is redundant because I obviously think that any of those top three can develop into a franchise quarterback. And if they can't, then I don't want them.
So that's what Nick's point at the beginning of the segment was. If those top three guys are not there, what do you do?
The Giants are going to have to trade off.
Take a toaster bath. Like what is not, I'm literally, what's the point?
Can I give you an alternative?
Who are you going to have thrown?
Oh God.
You are going to enrage me. Go ahead.
Okay. Listen to me very carefully. Okay. And I'm saying this.
Hold on.
Because I don't want you to react the way I think you're going to react. Just hear me out. Let me finish the entire thing.
Am I going to need two of these?
Go ahead.
No, go. You go.
The Chicago Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams. You've been on that. Can I finish? Can I finish?
Yes.
Okay, let me finish. Let me put you in a situation, then tell me what you're going to do. I haven't put you in it yet. They're going to draft Caleb Williams. The Washington Commanders, in all likelihood, are going to draft Drake May or Jaden Daniels. The New England Patriots are going to draft the third quarterback that's available. All three of them are asking for the moon and the earth, right? Just unrealistic expectations because they don't want to move. The top three quarterbacks, top three teams need a quarterback. At number four, Arizona takes Marvin Harrison. You got the two elite tackle prospects. You got some elite receivers there. It's a very, very good draft. You're talking about picking sixth, but potentially getting the second or third best player in the draft overall, right? Justin Fields is not a bad quarterback. Justin Fields has flashed.
I knew this.
Justin Fields.
Not happening.
Justin Fields
is a future Atlanta Falcon. Next topic of conversation.
You. Why do you rule out the Giants?
Because the money. Because they're going to have to give him actual money. Which
I don't think they. I don't think they have to give him actual money. I think
they got
to
give him at least $20-30 million a year.
So the deadline for the fifth year option is in May after the NFL draft. They could trade for Justin Fields. If they strike out on the three quarterbacks, or if they say, hey, we don't like the third quarterback, right? Like, that's a possibility too. I want them to have conviction. I don't want them to just take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. They can say, hey, we'll do the Justin Fields trades, third round pick, whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to do all that right now. Draft a really, really, really good prospect at six, or trade down. Ethan, you love trading down. And then acquire Justin Fields, pick up his fifth year option, have him on a 2-year deal that totals out to about, I want to say $30 million when you factor in the remaining final year of his rookie contract plus that fifth year option. So you're looking at about $30, $32 million, which is like $16 million a year, a 2-year run with Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields, I want to preface by saying this. I believe that Justin Fields, ultimately, if put in the right situation, is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. And I believe that with the right coach, I think Brian Daboll is that, and a general manager that can build a roster, I think Joe Shane is, there's some questions about the draft picks, you know, especially Evan Neal. But they have drafted well. Coaching, structure, I think Justin Fields can excel. Can he be a franchise quarterback? I'm not going to rule that out. So are you open to that idea?
Absolutely. As a consolation not. Prize, it's
no.
It's and probably it's a shit sandwich, but it's the best shit sandwich you're going to get, basically, is the way I would look at it. If you don't get one of the three in the draft, you're basically not fucked. I agree with you, Ethan. I don't think the Giants would look at Fields for a few reasons, but I don't think it's happening.
What's the reason?
The reason is that Joe Shane just gave a complete bust with two neck injuries and a torn ACL, a 4-year, $180 million deal. And now he's going to stake the rest of his job security on a quarterback who's had a bunch of opportunities to prove his potential. Yes, it is.
You're looking at the wrong way.
No, Let me finish. You went now. It's my turn.
Okay, go ahead.
It's my turn.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. If Joe Shane brings Justin Fields here, And he basically has got a 2-year deal, right?
Right.
Joe Shane and Brian Daboll will not survive to finally draft their guy.
Why not?
That trade gets them fired before the end of that 2 years is up.
What's the worst thing the Giants can do this offseason? The absolute worst thing they can do.
Start Daniel Jones week one next year.
Yeah, start Daniel Jones and give Saquon a 4-year deal.
For table, what's the worst thing they can do with their quarterback situation is just blindly hand Daniel Jones the starting quarterback job, whether he's healthy in week two or week three, right? That would be the worst thing. You want to talk about fireable offense? That's a fireable offense right there.
Bro, go get Russell Wilson for a Big Mac. Like, I'd rather that than
first
than
of all, that's Justin the worst Fields. Contract. You so you want to have the two worst quarterback
the,
contracts?
No, the Broncos NFL. Are picking up like all that money.
Please, come on, don't do the Russell Nick. Come on,
you're telling I me. I would take Russell. I
oh come on.
It depends on the money. I would have to see how the money works out. Oh, that's the listen, first preface. But Weiss,
Russ is,
I understand
Russ is going
I,
to be cheap.
Listen, the worst
thing I understand that, what you're saying about Fields. I do. I see and I see a world where Justin Fields can be an effective NFL quarterback, something the Giants haven't had in a
you're,
long time.
You're doing the same thing you did last year with Daniel Jones. You're seeing the flashes. You're like, oh, he could be a good quarterback. He's not that good.
First of all, I'm not saying what I'm simply saying is the worst thing that Joe Shane can do this offseason is just sign a guy that we know is a backup quarterback. Right, we know he's a backup quarterback. He's not going to compete for the starting job. And all of a sudden, Daniel Jones, he's going to be ready by week one or week two or whatever.
Justin Fields is going to be a backup quarterback.
Justin Fields comes in here. You have a – remember, this is not the first option. This is the fallback option.
It's like the first option, yeah.
You try to go get your quarterback. You try to identify a quarterback. If you can't identify it, you can't identify it. If you can't go and get him, you can't go and get him. Listen, it takes two to tango. If Washington wants Drake May, they're going to take Drake May. They're not going to pick up the phone or they're going to ask you for something extreme. Same thing with New England. Now, I'm not saying that that's likely, but I see a world with that where the first three quarterbacks and a very, very – the first three picks and a very, very good quarterback draft are quarterbacks. I see a world.
I agree with you. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, and I think the Giants are fucked.
So I think the way the Giants can – like, I can live with a team that says – that with the general manager that says, hey, I fucked up, but I'm going to try to find something, and I'm going to try to trade up. I'm going to try to identify one in the draft. If I can't do it, you know, Justin Fields was a top 20 pick. He's a young guy. We're going to sit here and allow Chicago to dictate what our thought process is of Justin Fields. Is he great? No. Has he flashed? Yes. This isn't a Daniel Jones thing. Fields hasn't played much. He's had two different head coaches, three different coordinators. Okay, so this and
so he's a coach killer like Daniel Jones.
No, because when we finally saw it come together for Justin Fields, where he had a receiver, where he had a resemblance of a team, that team was on the doorstep of making the playoffs. If Justin Fields does not get hurt, they're in the playoffs. They're a playoff team with Matt Eberflus.
I don't know if they're a playoff. I don't know about that if they're a playoff team, but I see what you're laying out. As a consolation prize, it's probably the best of the consolation prizes.
Would you not want to take a swing on a guy that might be?
I think because of what Ethan's saying, I would say no, because you have leveraged a lot already on a team that's not great. You know, you gave Jones that money.
Yes.
And that's a sunk cost at this point. Jones should not be a consideration in the decision-making going forward. Sunk cost, it's over with, it's done.
I agree, 100%. Yes.
But as Ethan was saying, that changed job. You know, he's 4 years, 5 years at that point. If you're not good at the 4 or 5 year cutoff point as a general manager, you get fired, you lose your job.
But as a general manager, you're like the worst thing a general manager can do is double down on a mistake.
But we're not saying it's one or the other. We're not saying it's either Justin Fields or reach for someone that they're not.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is
that's the scenario you're laying out.
No, the scenario that I'm laying out is you look at your options if you're not able to go get your guy.
And Justin Fields for me and probably also for Joe Shane is bottom of the list.
And the other consideration to add to this, Weiss, is just because it might be the right thing to do for the team, it does not mean that is also in the best interest of the general manager. Like, there's a world where Joe Shane can go to his boss and sell them on, we couldn't get one of our three guys in the draft. I don't want to waste assets because we still need to improve our roster too much where we're not in a position to be trading draft picks. We're going to try and get better with our coaching. We're going to take a wide receiver or a tackle or whatever. And I don't think that's the right thing to do. I'm not saying that.
That's a fireable offense.
I don't disagree with you, but the general manager is not always going to do what is best for the team. Sometimes it's about his job security.
The best thing he can do for his job security is to take another. I'm not even going to call it a swing.
It is a swing.
It's to aggressively trying to fix a situation that is messed up right now.
I disagree because we have seen how this owner has operated, and the owner will give you the benefit of the doubt if you play to what the owner wants you to do. So, yeah, there's a world where worst case scenario, they don't get one of the three quarterbacks they like.
Then let's select the scenario.
Yes, they don't get one of the three quarterbacks at the top of the draft. They don't get, there's no Russell Wilson. There's no veteran quarterback at the end of the rainbow. And they bring in somebody to compete with Jones for the starting job. And they draft somebody, they draft a wide receiver in the top 10. And we all eat the shit sandwich next year because that's the way the cards lie. You know, like you were saying, there's no way you can force Chicago, Washington, New England to take your trade. So yeah, the Giants are going to have to make the best out of a bad situation more than likely. So what is Joe Shane's motivation? Is it, do I need to take that swing, as you're saying, for Justin Fields, maybe Russell Wilson, maybe there's somebody out there, maybe Kyler Murray, somebody who might be out there, versus do I try and play it as safe as I possibly can and buy myself another year? And then when the table's a little more favorable, we go out and get the next veteran quarterback that's available, or we're in a draft where we're in a position to move up to a spot. You know, it's trying to make the best out of a bad situation. I see what the argument for trading for Justin Fields. I do. I don't hate the idea conceptually. I just don't think whatever they would give up, even if it is only a third round pick or something like that for Fields, would necessarily make sense for them. But I get both sides of this argument. I get what both of you are saying. I just think the Giants are pretty much fucked. So no matter what they do, we're probably going to be upset with what they do.
Agreed.
I won't. I think if you have, the only thing that will upset me, truthfully, guys, is if they double down on Daniel Jones. And what I mean by that is no competition.
But that's not happening. Like there are so many things that I'm certain of.
Actually, that's the most likely scenario.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't say double down is the most likely. I would say Daniel Jones and whoever they bring in.
This is how I define it. This is how I define it. If they do not draft a quarterback in the first two rounds, meaning with their first three picks, they do not bring in a veteran that either most recently was a starter or is not considered a career backup, that is doubling down. Because that is you handing Daniel Jones a starting quarterback job again. That is what I think is going to happen. It's unfortunate. And I think that is only going to make the seat warmer for a general manager and a head coach that I actually am willing to be a lot more patient with.
You know how I know that Daniel Jones is either not going to be the starter or won't be the starter for the full year?
It seems like your blood pressure went up, Ethan.
No. You know how I know it's not going to happen?
How?
Because Joe Shane and Brian Daboll said the opposite.
That's okay, a good point. Well,
it's January 10th. On April, when is it?
Yeah. No, Daniel Jones is our starting quarterback, just like we're not shopping Kadarius Toney.
Hold on. When is the draft? So I want to see
how late April.
I want to see how confident you are. 2024 NFL draft. I think it's April 27th, something like that.
Yeah, I think
26th. April 25th.
25th.
On April 26th, is Daniel Jones considered the quarterback of? Not going to say the future, but is Daniel Jones the outright starting quarterback of the New York Giants?
No.
No questions asked.
None. I think that we're going to know well before then. We're going to know
by the combine
whether or not the Giants have traded up or what the
No. We're going to know by the combine how the Giants are feeling because it's going to get leaked out. We're going to know.
Not my point. My point is much like when the 49ers, I think, who, I always get these two confused. The Carolina trading up for Trey Lance or...
No, Carolina traded up for Bryce Young. San Francisco
traded up. No, that's what I meant. San Francisco trading up for Trey Lance.
Yes.
Or there was another quarterback trade. Maybe it was the Trubisky trade that happened like well before the draft. Like the trade was made in like February or something like that, like late February or early March.
I know the Trubisky 49er trade that was done on draft night.
Okay, so then it was the Trey Lance deal. That trade was made
Buffalo in 2018 were made it obvious they're moving up for a quarterback. I think they did two 20 trades.
To 12 20 to yeah. 12 and then 12 to 7.
Yeah, I think that was in the process around
But we're gonna know very soon what the Bears' plans are. And if Justin Fields gets traded to another organization, then I'm quite confident the Giants will be in the mix to move up to number one. Or if the Bears are smart, they will first trade number one overall to the Commanders, move back one spot, get a first round pick and something else, and then trade that pick to the Giants, get another first round pick, and the Giants pick second. So those are the two trade scenarios that I see. If you're asking me right now, I don't think it's happening. I think the Bears would be fucking crazy to trade that pick. Yes. I think they need to move
their
on.
Their GM said it. He basically was like, we're in a unique situation. We know Justin Fields can play, but he all but told us that he's taking Caleb Williams, or he's going to take a quarterback with that number one pick. I actually think they're going to hold on to Justin Fields until after the draft, unless they
get dumb.
Well, the reason why is because you want to wait and see who doesn't get the quarterback.
Sure, but teams are going to know.
Or draft night, or a couple days before the draft, or something like that.
I think Justin Fields gets moved in the near future.
Does he get moved by the first day of free agency, March 15th?
Yes, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. And then we'll have our answer as to what the Bears are going to be doing. I think we're going to know before March 15th what the Bears' plan is. They will either have traded that pick already or traded Justin Fields already.
I will say
they've had 4 years to evaluate. This is not a particularly difficult thing to evaluate.
No, it's like, not. They
have their answer. Right. Now they have to navigate and figure out how they're going to execute. I think they know already.
Because if you don't take Caleb Williams, then you need to do you know what happens? All the leverage goes to Justin Fields because you have to make Justin Fields one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah.
If you're going to pass on 5 years of a rookie, then what you're saying is Justin Fields is the quarterback of your future, and I'm ready to pay him top dollar. I'm with you. I think they're gonna draft a quarterback number one overall. I don't know who's that quarterback's gonna be. I also will say this, and I don't know if you want to consider this a bold prediction, but I do think it is more likely that Justin Fields is the Giants' quarterback that they acquire than any of the top three quarterbacks in the draft this year.
I don't think so. I think. The Jones mistake has been made. You know, Dable has just year one outperformed every single expectation. Year two dealt with injuries, poor performance, an internal mutiny on the defensive side of the ball. Like, if there is a trade to be made, I think Joe Shane makes it. I think him and Dable finally get their guy, and we can officially mark 2024 as the true start of their tenure leading the Giants.
And I think that they don't do that because they can't do that.
And listen, I agree with you. I think if you're asking me right now, they're not trading the pick. If it becomes available, it's not only available to them. It's available to every other team in the NFL that wants to move up either ahead of the Giants to secure the guy that they have as the clear number one, or another team that needs a quarterback. But I think that if that trade that pick is available, I think the Giants do whatever the fuck it takes to get it.
And the one thing that they have at their advantage playing your scenario is that the Bears won't have to move as far down.
Yes.
They'll stay at 6. 2 and 3 are still likely quarterbacks.
Yep.
You're looking at an elite offensive line prospect or an elite receiver.
Yep.
To match with whatever the fuck you plan on doing at quarterback.
And then you have at least two firsts in the 2025 draft.
But I think Chicago keeps that first pick. Washington is the second one. I don't know what Washington's plan is. We're going to see whoever they hire. But I also think a quarterback is in their thing. I think they're fine with whoever Chicago doesn't take at one, whether that's Drake May or Caleb Williams. New England could, but I don't know what's happening in New England. I'm not going to rule them out as a potential trade partner for the Giants from 6 to 3. But I don't know. It's a difficult situation the Giants are in because it's clear they can't double down on Daniel Jones. They cannot sell that to this fan base. So I think bringing in Justin Fields might be a sort of like, hey, we know we messed up on Jones. We're going to compete. We're going to do everything we can. You know, there's not never enough assets you can give up to try to find your quarterback. So the worst thing they can do is double down on this. It would pain me. And unfortunately, that's what I think is going to happen, is that they're going to double down on Daniel Jones for one more year. And it's not because that's their primary choice. It's just, we've seen this movie before with the Giants. They're made of doubling down on their mistakes. Like, that's what they do.
This is not the same Giants.
I hope not. We're going to find out.
Yeah, we were talking a lot last year going into the draft about what would be their Rubicon. What would be their 10 years defining moment. And we thought it was going to be the Daniel Jones extension or franchise tag. I think ultimately this will be the offseason that determines whether or not they succeed. Jones getting the contract he did based off of the run he had last year, in a vacuum, you understand it, even though if we probably all should have been a little more reticent to give out that type of contract to somebody. I went and listened to an episode from right after the playoffs last year, and we all were talking about, well, Jones was this good. How can we get him to the next level a little more consistently? And that doesn't seem like that's in the cards. So more likely than not, this offseason determines whether or not Dable and Shane are a success. I do have one question for you guys based off of that idea, though. At what point do you think Shane would be willing to pull the plug on Dable to try and get somebody else in here? I'm not saying that's what they need to do, but if, you know, next year doesn't go well because either they run it back with Jones or it's Fields or it's a stopgap guy, or do you think the fact that it's Jones or a stopgap guy buys Dable a third season?
Dable's getting 4 years.
Yeah, Dable's getting 4 years. Unless they win like one or two games and it gets so toxic. Yeah, it got pretty toxic with the coaching staff this year.
Exactly, like the fact that this team with the amount of internal dysfunction did what they did. You know, he's getting a pass for this year.
I just think we're going to be disappointed this offseason.
That's Giants football, baby.
Exactly, and that's why we're here. All right,
they're stuck. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at NickZeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. You know the deal. And we'll talk to you whenever the fuck we feel like.
We'll put some more content out. We got to get off our lazy asses.
Okay. All right.
Peace.